And let us pray. Living and loving God, with joy we celebrate today the presence of your risen word in Jesus Christ our Savior. We pray that you would enliven, awaken our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we might learn to proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life. We pray through him who is our strength and salvation, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament lesson comes to us today from the book of God's prophet Isaiah. It's chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. It's on page 500 in your pew Bibles, and it's here. And now let us hear the word of the Lord. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And here ends the lesson from the prophet. The lesson from the gospel is the account of the resurrection from John's gospel. It's chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. It's on page 768 and here. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And here ends the lesson from the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I think just about everybody in here is aware that Paul and I are blessed to have two grandchildren. Our grandson Colin is about to be 4, and our granddaughter Charlotte, only she's called Charlie, is about to be 1. And they live in Texas, although they lived in Paris for a while. So Paul and I, when we go to visit them, it's not that often, but we get to stay for a while, right? And one of the joys of Paul's in my life is being able to read to the kids, to Colin and now to his little sister. And whenever we go, I always take a big bag of stuff, you know, presents and, you know, because I'm Mimi and Mimi brings presents. That's just the joy of being a grandma, right? And two years ago this summer, they were living in Paris and we took a trip down to Nice. We went to visit them in Paris and we took the train or flew down to Nice and we rented a car and we're doing a lot of sightseeing and Colin was cranky because we'd been sightseeing a lot and he was in the car, in a car seat between his parents and I reached into my bag and I pulled out a book because I always have books. And this particular book is called The Pout Pout Fish. Does anybody know this story? Okay, so some of you all know this story because it's a very awesome story, The Pout Pout Fish, right? So it was a board book because Colin was like two and like tore pages. And so I handed it to my son and I said, here, read this and maybe he'll, you know, not screech anymore. So Connor, my son, is reading Colin the story of the pout pout fish with the pout pout face and he spreads his chubby wubbies or something like that all over the place, right? And Connor's making the noise and Colin is listening and he stops screeching and his father finishes the story, and Colin wasn't saying very many words then, but what he said was he pointed and he said, again! Okay, so Colin read it again and Connor read it again and four or five times later. So every time we go now, we go visit them in Houston, and Colin, before he goes to bed, you go and lie down with him and you read him stories, and now he can talk. So it's not just again, then it became read again, and now it's read it again, Mimi. Okay, and now the Pout Pout Fish has gone to school, and he's afraid of the dark, and he's afraid of bullies, and so there's this whole library of Pout Pout Fish books. But when Paul and I were visiting them in January of this year, I read The Pout Pout Fish Goes to School. By the end of it, I could just say the words of the Pout Pout Fish book. Okay, so if you don't know that story, go get it. It's really awesome. Okay, if it's a good story like The Pout Pout Fish is, we always want to hear it again and again, right? That's part of being human. We never outgrow our love of a good story. We all need to hear a story. And the story that we tell today is the very best story of all. Now, at the Easter sunrise service, we told the story of creation. We read Psalms. And we told the story from creation to Moses, through the struggle of the people of Israel, and up to the incarnation. At the sunrise service, we sang Away in a Manger. And I kind of chuckled to myself as we were singing it because we were telling the story of Jesus. And I thought, if anybody's driving by right now, they're going to think that we are really confused, okay, as we were singing Away in a Manger on Easter. But we told the story of Mary and Joseph, peasants from nowhere, and of their baby, who grew up to tell the world that God's kingdom is not only coming, but is now. That baby who grew up to teach and preach and heal and to love. Even the ones who are most on the outside, even the hardest ones to love, even them, that baby Jesus grew up to do that. The authorities, both civil and religious, tried to stop him. One of his own betrayed him. He was arrested and tried and mocked and beaten. There's a reason we leave the thorns up there on the cross. And crucified. While those he loved watched or denied him like Peter or ran away. And they buried him in a cold tomb hewn from solid rock. Shut him up and sealed him there, supposedly forever, just like everyone else who has ever died. But very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, one of the ones who loved him most went out to the tomb, and it wasn't shut up and sealed anymore. The stone had been rolled away. She ran, and she told two of the others who loved him as well, and they came and looked, but they didn't see anyone. And Mary stayed at the tomb, crying. She saw someone. Someone came behind her, and she turned, and she thought it was the gardener because she wasn't expecting to see Jesus. She was broken and sorrowful to the point of breaking, weighed down with grief and fear. That's part of the story, too, the grief and fear. There's not one person in this room, no matter how old or young you are, no matter your station in life, there's not one person in this room who hasn't experienced that weighing down with grief and fear. Either right now you're there, or last year, or 5 years ago, or a lifetime ago, or else you somehow know that that grief and fear is right around the corner. My father died on April 6th last year. That year, last year, April 6th was right before Palm Sunday. And so this year, what happened to me is that I've been carrying this weight of grief for a year. I am not still sure, almost a year later, how to live in a world without my father in it. There's so many times every week, sometimes multiple times a day, where I hear something and I go to text my father. Or I think, oh, I need to cut that article out or text dad that. And then it catches me again that I can't do that in this life. And somehow the process for me this year, because last year I missed Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, and Easter sunrise, and I came back just in time to preach Easter morning. So somehow this year, in the process of studying and preparing and crafting worship services, has kind of brought all that back to me in a new way. But the surprise at the end of the story, and I've been saying for months now that my Easter sermon was going to be called Surprise, because hello, it's April Fool's Day, right? It's April 1st. How could I not, right? The surprise in Mary's story, and in my story, and in your story, is that just when we feel the most alone, the most weighed down and afraid and broken with grief, just at that very moment, Jesus shows up and he knows us. Mary was in the garden. She was weeping. The tomb was empty. And she heard someone, and she thought he was the gardener. She wasn't expecting to see Jesus. She didn't recognize him. And he spoke to her, and she still didn't recognize him. It wasn't till he called her name that she turned and saw her Savior. Death couldn't keep him sealed in the rock. All the sorrow and fear and despair in the world disappeared in the light of the risen Christ. Mary recognized Jesus when he called her name. And his recognition, his knowing her, me and you, means that we all live in a surprising new reality where death no longer has the last word, where hope is not something in the past but something beckoning us into the future, where Jesus is present in bread and cup, in broken bodies and souls, and in the lives of all who hear him call their names. That's the story that we all need to hear and we all need to tell. Isaiah says, our salvation is at hand. Death is no more, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Jesus said to Mary, go tell my brothers. Now remember, these brothers are the ones who abandoned him and ran away and left him dying alone. Jesus said, go tell my brothers. And Mary did. And we can too. Surprise! Tell it again. Alleluia. Amen. Let's pray. Holy and almighty God, we thank you for the surprise at the end of our story, that Christ Jesus shows up and recognizes us, and we follow him. In his holy name we pray. Amen.